If you have your Bible, would you please turn to Deuteronomy chapter 5? And it's going to be verse 11. And since we are reading about one of God's commandments, if we would all stand for that. It is only going to be chapter 11. But in honor of the command that God gave unto Moses, we will stand and read it. You shall not take the name of the Lord your God in vain, for the Lord will not hold him guiltless who takes his name in vain. You may be seated. The reason I wanted you to stand and understand that when God had Moses come down to the children of Israel, he had them all stand and listen to all of the commandments. Tonight's topic is about God's holiness. It's about how important it is to understand the name of God and what his name signifies and means. The Lord had come down and spoke unto Moses in the mountain and had given him 10 commandments. We know that the first 4 were to reveal how we are to worship God. And the 6 others was how we are to love our neighbor. We were to worship God with all our mind, all our heart, and with all our strength. We were to have no other gods before him. We were to not make anything in the likeness of a bird in the air, or a fish, or a sea creature, or a creeping thing, or in the image of any man. How have we been doing? You know, we've been deceived in the holiness of God. You know, and I want you to know you're not alone. I'm right there with you. You know, our minds have been tricked. We have to really fight it. You know, I've always thought about doing that, and I, you know, where I would just flash some pictures up and have you tell me who they are, and I've done that before, and you flash up and, you know, you give a picture of Jesus and what we call Jesus, and we say right away, Jesus. Well, guess what? That's not Jesus. That's idolatry. And you've worshipped it. Not doing very well. Not doing very well. Blessed be the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus, right? That he forgives such a thing through his blood. So what exactly is forbidden by the third commandment? The word vain, as it is rendered in the ESV, which my brothers tell me is the language in which Jesus spoke, but I you know. They, you know, because that's the version they like. So, you know, and as you have some who think he spoke in King James and so forth and so on. So, but the ESV says that vain means empty, nothing, worthless, or to no good purpose. We are forbidden, therefore, from taking the name of God or taking up the name or bearing the name, as the phrase could be translated, in a manner that is wicked, worthless, or for a wrong purpose. This doesn't mean that we must avoid the divine name altogether. The name Yahweh, the Lord. In most translations, it appears some 7,000 times in the Old Testament. We do not need to be superstitious about saying his name, but we must not misuse it. So you got to understand that when Israel realized the significance of God and his name, they began to be afraid to even utter it. So they began to call him Adonai. It means the same thing, but they would not utter Yahweh. And what I want to tell you is that it's one thing to say, I won't say that name, or you believe that it's reverent, but if our heart is not living for the name, it doesn't matter whether you say it or not, because you're not living for the name. It is about his name. The Old Testament identifies several ways in which the third commandment can be violated. Most obvious is to blaspheme or curse the name of God, which we can see in Leviticus chapter 24, is verse 16. And in Leviticus 24:16, it says this, whoever blasphemes the name of the Lord shall surely be put to death. All the congregation shall stone him, the sojourner as well as the native, when he blasphemes the name, shall be put to death. Now, we know in the current day that because of the Messiah's grace that he has given through the blood, we don't stone people to death for blaspheming his name. But is God still serious about his name in the New Testament as he was in the Old Testament? See, this Old Testament law is a reality that if you live out your life cursing the name of God with no regards, you will die. So the law hasn't changed. But God wanted the people and the children to know how important his name was. And it's pointed out in Acts when the seven men of Sheba went and they had seen the power of Paul healing in the name of Jesus. And so they decided, okay, I got it. You know, just say his name. So they went to a man, seven of them, read it in the book of Acts. And they declared in the name of Jesus for the demon to come out of the man. You know what the demon said, right? He looked at him and said, Paul, I know. Jesus, I know. Who are you? And it says that the man jumped and beat the seven men, bloodied them badly, and they ran out naked. One man. Is God still serious about his name in the New Testament? I think so. I think so. But there is more to the commandment than that. The third commandment also forbids empty and false oaths. You shall not swear by my name falsely and so profane the name of your God. I am the Lord. Leviticus 19:12 and Hosea 10:4a. When you make a declaration, swear by God's name, it must not be a false one or one that you do not intend to keep. Please turn to Leviticus 19:12. If you notice, it's interesting that I'm actually in the book of the law. which we said that Jesus has overcome, but Jesus said, I'm the fulfillment of the law. He didn't abolish the law. The law is still for the lawbreaker. That's also what Paul wanted you to know. The law is still for the lawbreaker. He who is free in Christ is free from the law because he lives according to Christ. But if you do not, the law still applies. And so Leviticus 19:12 says, you shall not swear by my name falsely, so to profane the name of your God. I am the Lord. I am the Lord. And in Hosea 4a, it says, they utter mere words with empty oaths. They make covenants. See, that's a gracious thing that many have done in the name of Jesus. They have taken up oaths that they had no intent of keeping. None whatsoever. Maybe you've been like me before I was aware and in my ignorance. You know, Lord, if you just do this, I promise I'll go and do this. You're trying to make a deal with God. That is profane of his name to say you're going to worship him. You're going to serve him. I'll give you all that I have. You know, some of us should be careful about the songs we sing. You ever thought about that? If you don't mean it, you declared it in the presence of the living God. God hears everything. So if you sing one of those songs, I give you my all, Lord, I give you my all. And then the Lord says, hey, I need you to go. Oh, not right now. Can't do that. I need you to teach Sunday school. I can't do that. I need you to go on a mission. I can't do that. That's not what I thought you were going to give me your all. You really have made a false proclamation to the Lord. And we think God doesn't care. But how precious is his name to him? Do you know Israel is saved and going to be saved for only one reason? And you too? Because God gave his word. Had God not given his word to his son, that not only will you save the house of Israel, you will save the Gentiles too. If God did not declare that to his son, do you know we wouldn't be sitting here tonight talking about it? And he declared it upon his name, not upon you, not upon what you do, but upon his own name. And his name will always be uplifted and honored by him. His name. He told Israel, he said, I save you because of my name. Moses reveals that. When Israel sinned against him, he had brought them out from Egypt with a mighty, mighty hand. And there they were. And you hear Moses and he says, what is going on? It sounds like war in the camp. And he says, that's not war. They have departed from me. And he found them worshiping idols. And God said unto Moses, I shall destroy this people and make you a great nation. And what did Moses say? No, Lord, let it not be that the heathen say that you could not do this, that your name would be profaned. And he relented. And salvation unto Israel because of his great name. God's very serious about his name. The third commandment also prohibits false vision, false claims to speak on God's behalf, for such prophets prophesize lies in my name. This is what God said of the priest in Jeremiah. If you would, turn to Jeremiah 23, verse 25. And it says, I have heard what the prophets have said who prophesy lies in my name, saying, I have dreamed. I have dreamed. Have we heard that lately? Just turn on channel 21. You'll hear it every day, all day long. I have a dream. I have a word from God. I dream this. I have dreamed that. These are men speaking lies in the name of the living God. And God will not sit by idly forever, because he has told us that he will not hold that person guiltless. Guiltless. See, you cannot say you are washed in the blood of Christ and think that you can do such a thing. The two don't match. The two will never match. And so the prophets go about saying such things as they do today. Strangely enough, sacrificing one's children to a false god, Moloch, was considered a violation of the third commandment because it profaned the name of God. Leviticus 18:21. Again, we're looking at another law. It says, you shall not give any of your children to offer them to Moloch and to profane the name of your God. I am the Lord. You notice that it went even deeper than that. He doesn't say specific, throw them into the fire, though that's what they were doing. He says, you shall not give any of your children to offer them to Moloch, to profane the name of your God. I am the Lord. There is a commission to a parent who says that he believes that Yeshua is Messiah to tell his children that Christ is God. And for you not to do that, you simply throw him into the fire. You ever thought about that? Guess where hell is? Guess what burns there? And you just threw your kid in there. If you disregard any effort, you cannot save them, but you are called to tell them. You are to offer them up to God. Let God be God. God will make that decision. But have you done what God commanded of you? Give not your children over to Moloch. Have you tried not to? See, I know firsthand, so I speak with knowledge of firsthand. I happen to know, and hopefully he has repented of it, but I knew a pastor who said, well, let my kids make their own decision. They weren't adults at the time that he said that. I can understand if they're out of the house, you can't control them. No, these were in the house. He said, I'll let them make their decision about God. And I said, well, wait a minute. Aren't you a shepherd of the Most High? The Bible says your children are supposed to be believers, or you're disqualified to be preaching. You know, I may have overstepped myself because I was not, but I was trying to get some clarity. I was a new believer, but I had read that. And so what happens? His daughter has a baby out of wedlock. The son goes off and gets into whatever. And yet he says he's a minister of the Most High. How can that be? When you've allowed your children to be thrown into the lake of fire. You didn't offer them up to God. It says offer them up. Doesn't tell you that you're going to save them, but you are to offer them up. So if any of you, like me, grew up with a parent, a grandparent who rode you and told you, and though you were a heathen and continued to do what you wanted to do, I believe God is well pleased with them that they tried. And I am grateful to my grandmother who tried. Because I know now why she wanted me to know the living God. See, Israel, it was so important to Israel, it says that Israel was to, you know, stone again that man who would do such a thing because he wanted cleanliness to permeate in the camp. And he did not want, again, his name to be besmirched as he dwelt amidst them, right? Jesus was with, the Lord was with them. And he said, this camp is holy, and so God would not allow anything unholy in the camp because his name was there. He had been declared. I want to share this statement from a pastor that I read. His name is Kevin DeYoung of Christ Covenant Church in Matthews, North Carolina. He says this. He says, the way to see God's glory is to hear his name. To know the name Yahweh, the merciful and gracious one, is not to merely know something about God. It is to know God himself. That's very important. We all who have accepted Jesus as Lord know that. That it's important to know him. Not know about him. You know, Barry used to always say that a man's salvation was just 18 inches away from your mind to your heart. See, because if it's not in your heart, you're not saved. Faith is not a thought-up thing. It's not an intellect. There's a lot of people who know the name of Jesus. There's a lot of people declaring the name of Jesus. There's a lot who are profaning the name of Jesus. We hear God's name being cursed, used. We hear Jesus' name. How many times have you heard people say, Jesus, as a cuss word? And I hate to tell you, they're not talking about Jesus, their neighbor. They're talking about the living God. They literally use his name as a vanity, as a curse word. And yet the commandment says, I will not hold him guiltless. You know, then some of us may have tried when we were younger to be smart and clever and say, GD, gosh darn. But you know what? God sees the intent in your heart. He sees the intent of our hearts. So God is a holy God, and we need to be mindful of his name. Similarly, to unlawfully touch the holy things was considered a violation of the third commandment. We read again in Leviticus 22, verse 2. It says, speak to Aaron and his sons so that they abstain from the holy things of the people of Israel, which they dedicate to me, so that they do not profane my holy name. I am the Lord. I am the Lord. And again, how serious was God about just that? His holiness, things that were dedicated unto him. So much so that when the young man thought he was doing a good thing. All of us would have thought we were doing a good thing. Think about it. The priests are carrying the Ark of the Covenant on the poles like they were commanded, and only they were commanded. See, this is something that you need to understand about God's commandments. God is very specific, and God means what he says, and he's not evil in saying what he means. He said, no one but the priest are allowed to touch that ark, and only at a given time. That's why it was on poles. Not even they could just go, oh, well, I'm a priest, and go and touch it. They couldn't. And they had it on a pole. They made a stumble and it started to fall. And like all of us, would we not think we were being helpful? A young man reaches out and touches the holy thing of God that was dedicated unto God, and he died on the spot. And David, see, that's why David was a man after God's own heart, in reverence of the awesomeness and the severity of who God is. He realized, wait a minute, I am an unclean man, and who am I to have the Ark of the Covenant in my possession? And he got rid of it. He literally got rid of the Ark. And he heard of the blessings that it was giving to others. He said, you want to get rid of God? Then I'll give blessings to those who will receive me. And David realized, wait a minute, Lord, you're forgiving. And he asked for the ark to return to the house of Israel. Kind of a picture of what's going on right now, huh? Seems like it, right? Seems like us Gentiles are being blessed by the ark that is should be in the house of Israel. But just like David, one day they're going to go, whoa, wait a minute. That's our God. Jesus told them they would. And so I know they will. One day they will say, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. And as the commandment and the word has said, all of the house of Israel will be saved. Those who will believe will come. And the ark will be returned unto the house of Israel. So, likewise, the priests were cutting corners in Malachi's day, where they were devaluing the name of God by their polluted offerings and their cynical hearts. Please turn to Malachi chapter 1, and we'll look at verses 10 through 14. It says, oh, that there were one among you who would shut the doors, that you might not kindle a fire on my altar in vain. I have no pleasure in you, says the Lord of hosts, and I will not accept any offerings from your hand. From the rising of the sun to the setting, my name will be great among the nations. And in every place, incense will be offered to my name and pure offerings. For my name will be great among the nations, says the Lord of hosts. And truly it is today. But you profane it when you say that the Lord's table is polluted and its fruit, that is, its food, may be despised. But you say, what a weariness this is, and you snort at it and say, the Lord of hosts, you bring what has been taken by violence or lame or sick, and you bring us, and you bring as your offering. Shall I accept that from your hand, says the Lord? Cursed be the cheat who has a male in his flock and a vow, and yet sacrifices to the Lord what is blemished, for I am a great king, says the Lord of hosts, and my name will be feared among the nations. Okay. Is that happening today? I want us to understand that the commandments have not been taken away, and God is still serious about his name. So, if you are, and if you know someone who is, who says that he knows the Lord, then I say to you, warn him. If it is you, warn yourself. Think about what you do for a living. If it is not earnest money that you are making, you should not offer one dime of it to the Lord, because the Lord will not receive it. It is a profane offering to give what you have stolen unto the Lord. God is a holy God. You know, I remind myself of that every single day because of what I do. I'm in the automotive field. And every day, sin is right there at the door, of temptation if I had not surrendered my life unto the living God, because customers ask me questions like this all the time. Is it worth putting money into this car? Is it time to get rid of it? And sometimes it is. And so, you know, that's where truth comes in and not the greed of money. Because all I have to do is say, oh, no, go ahead. You know, so I make the sale. Other than to say, nope, it's time to get rid of this car. Knowing that the sale's going to walk out the door. Because how can I do that? You know, I've stood in the face of my employers many times when they have told me to destroy one man for the good of another man. See, because also in my field, there is what we call producers, guys who are faster, guys who can fix cars and do more cars than the next guy. Well, but all those guys depend on me to hand them a ticket and give them an opportunity to make a money. Like I tell them, I don't know if the customer will buy the repair or not. But if I don't give him an opportunity, what hope does he have, right? And I've been told, well, give more tickets to the fast guy and let the other guys fade. And here has been my reply for 20 years. And they always look at me strangely, but I say it with all earnestness. How can I go home at night and pray before the God that I believe in, that has sacrificed all and gave his blood to save me, and thank him for what he has given me when I have robbed another man? How can I do that? Answer that for me. And every single time, all that has ever happened is they got up and walked out. Nothing else to say. That's how serious I believe the holiness of God's name is. You know, I know a shepherd, he's gone on to glory also. That a young man walked into his church and him and his buddies wanted to give a nice big offering. Small little town I come from, Holbrook. Church is poor, small congregation. You guys are probably bigger than the congregation unless it's grown. They could have used the money. The kids wanted to give a big offering. And he knew that it was drug money. And he told them, son, give me your heart, not your offering. For you cannot give that which is stolen unto God. The very next week, I happened to be there to preach. And that young man returned to curse the shepherd of God and to call him a wicked man. Now, I'm going to tell you something that I don't know for sure, but I believe with all my heart that God honors his word. That young man died 2 weeks later. Because, see, God, he dishonored his parents. His parents were there. And God tells you, what does the commandment say? Honor thy father and thy mother, right? That your time would be long upon the earth. It was not long. He was 25 years old. God will not be mocked. I believe in the holiness of my God, and I believe in the holiness of his name. I believe that he is still the same God as yesterday, today, and forever. You don't believe so? God wanted you to know that when he struck down Ananias and Sapphira. That's not Old Testament. That's New Testament. They lied in the name of God. They lied about their offering. And God said, Peter, speaking to him, said, you did not lie to man, but you lied to the Holy Spirit. So one might say, why such a fuss over God's name? It's because his name is who he is. I am who I am. Self-sufficient one, his name is his identity. That's something you need to really understand about God. His name is his identity. It wasn't by accident that Jesus, Yeshua, was named Yeshua. It's who he is. You know what it means, right? He who saves. His name and what he is. I am who I am. I'm a savior. I am who I am. The name is one. Example, our names are not tangential to our being. It marks us and identifies us. Over time, as people get to know us, our name embodies who we are. Think of someone whom you deeply love, your children, your grandchildren, your parents, friends, or a spouse. The name of that person represents more than a marking on the page. When someone says the name Ann, I'm overcome with good thoughts because I cannot separate my wife from her name. A whole flood of emotions, expression, joys, and desire come to me at the sound of those three letters put together in that name. See, your name is who you are. Names are precious, which is why we don't like our names to be ridiculed, twisted, or made fun of. Have any of you gone through that when you were kids? Maybe where they made fun of your name. How did you feel? Or they give you a nickname that you don't feel fits your character. You know? That's how precious. We get upset about the name. You know, had God not always steered me and been around me, I would either be dead or in jail because of how people identified me. Guys who were bigger called me tiny, things like that. Little man, things like that. And I was having no part of it. So I got into a lot of fights to prove that I was not tiny and that I was not a little man, which could have cost me my very life many times had not God had a purpose for me. So, yeah, if I thought my name was precious and I didn't create heaven and earth, I would think he should be honored. He's done a whole lot more than me. So the importance of the name of God is seen in Paul's statement, in which we all know, Acts 4:12. And there is salvation in no one else, for there is no other name under heaven given among men by which we must be saved. Yeshua, he who saves, by no other name. But we who know the Lord have overcome the world, and we believe this. I hope you do. Please, we're going to end with this. It's in John, 1 John chapter 5. And we're just going to read what 1 John chapter 5 says. You know, again, I always like to remind you that God, when speaking to John on Patmos, gave him the revelation, but he also gave him a small book, told him to eat of it, and said it would be sweet in his mouth but sour in his stomach. And he said, and you'll have to go back and tell the people these things. It was sweet because the word of God is like honey. It was sour in the stomach because it would be sobering. It would be tough to swallow. But you must. So here it is, 1 John 5. It says, everyone who believes that Jesus is the Christ has been born of God, and everyone who loves the Father loves whoever has been born of him. By this we know that we love the children of God when we love God and obey his commandments. For this is the love of God, that we keep his commandments. And his commandments are not burdensome. So keeping his name holy, it should not be burdensome. For everyone who has been born of God overcomes the world. And this is the victory that has overcome the world, our faith. Who is it that overcomes the world except the one who believes that Jesus is the Son of God? This is he who came by water and blood, Jesus Christ. Not by the water only, but by the water and the blood. And the Spirit is the one who testifies, because the Spirit is truth. For the three that testify, the Spirit and the water and the blood, and these three agree. If we receive the testimony of men, the testimony of God is greater. For this is the testimony of God, that he has borne concerning his Son. Whoever believes in the Son of God has the testimony in himself. Whoever does not believe God has made him a liar. See, this is that profanity he's talking about. Profaning his name. You say that you have the living God living in you, but you do not do the things that the living God would do. You know, Matthew 7, Jesus makes a strong statement. He says, why do you call me Lord, Lord, and do not do what I say? And then he also says and reveals that many will say on that day, Lord, Lord, did I not cast out demons? Did I not do miracles in your name? And he says, I do not know you, lawless one. He says, I never knew you. So what did they do? They profaned his name. They went out speaking in his name, but obviously they had no heart for his name. And that's what this testimony is about. It says that no one should have to, for the testimony lives in us. But the testimony is also revealed by what we do. You know, I don't ever want you to misunderstand me, that I am not telling you that salvation is by works. I am telling you salvation reveals your works. You're never going to convince me you're saved by a proclamation and your deeds are evil. You make this testimony a lie, and you make God a liar. It says the Spirit is the Spirit of truth. How can you possess the Spirit of truth and do not one truthful thing and say you're saved? You have lied on God again and have profaned his name. You can't do that. You can't do that. Verse 11, and this is the testimony that God gave us eternal life, and this life is in his Son. Whoever has the Son has life. Whoever does not have the Son, God does not have life. I write these things to you who believe in the name of the Son of God, that you may know that you have eternal life. And this is the confidence that we have toward him, that if we ask anything according to His will, he hears us. And if we know that he hears us in whatever we ask, we know that we have the requests that we have asked of. Something recently I learned about that, and this is kind of a side note, but again, it is about his name. When we ask ourselves, have you? I know I have. What is the will of God? Have you ever asked yourself that? What is the will of God? I'll tell you today, because I just learned, the will of God is his glory. Think about your prayers now. Are you praying that God be glorified? Or do we just want somebody well? Selfishly. You know, I was convicted about that with my own wife. When the Spirit revealed to me that brothers and sisters, I try to be as transparent and as honest to you as possible that you might walk well before the Lord. And the Lord revealed to me, to my shame, that I wanted my wife well just so that it would not be an annoyance any longer to me. He revealed an evil deep in my own heart that I was unaware of. That's not to the glory of God. See, when you pray and ask God for something, make sure that it brings glory to his name. I know it all too well. I was a collegiate wrestler. I was a state champion several times in high school. Got into college, figured I was going to be a national champion. Nothing could stop me, and all of a sudden, things weren't going my way. Injuries were coming and things like that. And I cried out to God. But I didn't want the Savior to be glorified. I'm being honest with you. I asked the living God, make me great again. Why have you not made me great again? You are the one who made me a champion. Make me a champion again. Never once did I say, God, be with me. Glorify yourself however you see it. Win or lose, glorify yourself. See, I knew that at one time. People used to call me a hot dog, and they never knew when I walked from the mat with one finger up, win or lose, one finger up, because it was to say to God, you answered my prayer, because this was always my prayer. God, let whoever worked the hardest win. And I accepted the fact, if I lost, that I did not work the hardest. But glory be to you, for you answered the prayer. That guy had gone. Not to the glory of God. The will of God is his name. Israel is saved to the glory of God. You are saved to the glory of God. You want to know the will of God? Figure out what the glory is in what you're asking to the name of God and ask that he be glorified. We say sometimes, well, God didn't heal that person. Well, because that's the glory of God. That's the glory of God. Praise God, we are sound, and my brother who has lost his wife knows the glory of God. The glory of God is that we all be with him. And we got to die to get there. Sadly. I don't want to belittle that, but I want you to know that's the glory of God. Jesus said to be where I am, right? So we got to go there. We got to go there. Verse 16, if anyone sees his brother committing a sin, not leading to death, he shall ask, and God will give him life. To those who commit sin that do not lead to death, there is sin that leads to death. I do not say that one should pray for that. All wrongdoing is sin, but there is sin that does not lead to death. We know that everyone who has been born of God does not keep on sinning, but he who was born of God protects him, and the evil one does not touch him. We know that we are from God, and the whole world lies in the power of the evil one. It's right there in black and white what I was saying earlier. He who is saved ceases to sin. That doesn't mean you're going to be perfect, but it means that your heart has no longer desire. I want you to know who you are tonight in Christ. We talk about being a new creature, and I want you to understand this so that you will stop identifying with your sin and begin to identify with the Christ. You know, we always go about saying, I'm a sinner. I'm a sinner. Not if you're in Christ. Or have you not been born again? How you basically are saying, I've been reborn in sin. That's a lie. Now you've already profaned the name of God again. Jesus said you're a new creature. You've been born anew. You have a new heart, new mind, and a new understanding. You have a new spirit. You're born of the Spirit of Christ. That is why Paul said, it is not I who sin, but sin taking an opportunity. Therefore, I do not do what I desire to do. The new man in you desires holiness and righteousness at all times because it is the nature of Christ. But the sin that is in the flesh takes opportunity so that you do not. And he says, therefore, it is not I who sin. Get it? You're born again. Stop identifying with your sin. Because that died with Christ. Or are you not born again? Or are you not born again? See how strange you will be, even in the circle of Christendom, to say, I'm not a sinner. Because the truth is, I am a child of the Most High God, and therefore I am not, but it is sin that takes an opportunity that keeps me from the holiness that my heart has now, that has been given by the precious gift of Jesus Christ. That's why you're here. That's why you praise his name. That's why you seek his righteousness. That's why you want to look like him, and you are grieved. Remember, Paul said, who will take this body of death from me? See the separation? He said, death is, I'm carrying death around, but I live. I'm me, myself, I'm born again, but I carry death around. Who will relieve me? And then he makes this proclamation, praise be to the Lord Jesus Christ. Why? Because he saved me so that I cannot be condemned. Blessed be his name. Know who you are. Know who you are. Final verse. And we know that the Son of God has come and has given us understanding so that we may know him who is true, and we are in him who is true. In Son Jesus Christ, he is the true God and eternal life. He is eternal life himself. That's why you have eternal life. Did you know that? Jesus is eternal life itself. I am who I am. Another characteristic of God. God is eternal. If you're in God, you can't be nothing else but eternal. You can't be what we were before Christ. Short-term, identify. We are in Christ. Christ lives forever, therefore we do. That's the reason we have eternal life, because we're in the Son. And in the Son, there is no sin. And does the Son sin? No. And you say you're in him and you continue to live outside of him and outside of who he is? Ask yourself, am I really in Jesus Christ? So verse 21, I finish with this. Little children, keep yourself from idols. Bow down to nothing. Profane not the name of the living God. So if you're born again, you are called to glorify the name of Jesus Christ by the way you live, by the way you speak, by the things you do and you don't do. Paul said, all things are lawful unto me, but not all things are beneficial. Paul was talking about liberty. We have liberty in Christ, but we do not have liberty to sin. See, that's where it's misunderstood, and that's where false teaching has come from. That's why you have false teachers out there allowing us as Christians to, you know, oh, I'm a Christian drug addict. I'm a Christian homosexual. I'm a Christian this and that. And I'm all these things that are outside of Jesus Christ. That profanes the name of Christ. Do we not understand that Christ is holy? And he would never be a part of such things? Jesus saves us from those things. I want you to also understand this, though. What we have done has consequences. I say it all the time, and I want no one to misunderstand that. We may have abused our body, and we may die of that abuse, but we will be saved eternally if we are in Christ. That's the beauty of Jesus Christ. We are a new creature, but whatever we've done in the flesh, that flesh, it may kill us. You know? It may cause us to die. You know, it's like this. If I go out and go speeding and all of a sudden I hit a pole, I might die from that activity. But Christ would still save me eternally. So what we do has consequences. And that's, but God calls us to a holiness. Think about who you are and why you've been born again. You've been born again to the glory, like I said, to the glory of God's name. And if God's name is holy, know that you have been born to reveal that holiness. And you can only do it one way. You cannot do it with your tongue. Only. You must reveal God through the deeds. Jesus, when he came to reveal the Father, think about what it would have looked like when Jesus came. And he said, I come to reveal the Father. The Father's a healer. Jesus, heal me. No, no. No, won't do that. You just said the Father was a healer. Yeah, he is. But I ain't going to do that. God can give sight to the blind. Can you give me sight? No, I'm not going to do that. How soon would they have believed that he came in the name of the Lord? See what I mean about the name? He declared the name. He spoke what his Father was, and he did exactly what his Father is. Therefore, there was no way they could think anything else. They could think anything else. That's why they kept saying to him, "We're not destroying you for the deeds. It's that you say you're God." He said, "But I'd be a liar to say if I didn't. I'm the Son of God. I'd be a liar. I can't lie. I can't tell you that I'm not. I am." And then he makes the proclamation that I started with. I am. And they picked up stones to stone him because they knew who he was saying he was then. He said, "I am Yahweh." It had a lot of weight. A lot of weight. I am Yahweh. And you are children of Yahweh. Live like it. And let the world know that he lives. That he lives. And he rose again. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you tonight, and we glorify your name. We praise you that you have risen. We praise you, Father, as we go into this season of thanksgiving. Lord, there is turmoil all around, but I ask, Father, that these brothers and sisters will remember their blessings and remember to be thankful. And Father, I pray for bounty upon their tables. If there be anyone short, Father, I pray that you will fulfill it. And Lord, if we can meet it, let us know. But Father, may they all be nourished by the hand of you, the mighty God. May they delight in the bread they take and the wine they drink and the joy they have as they look across the table and see the bounty of God. Father, we thank you for this season. I thank you for the sisters that have come to bless us in singing. Father, bless them. Those who are here and have heard your word, Father, I pray that we are encouraged. Father, if there's anyone struggling in their faith right now, I pray that you would let your name rest upon them and in them and give them peace. Father, we thank you. You, the Most High God, you who are and always have been, I am. Thou, the self-sufficient one, the glorious one, the only one, the God of Israel. There are no other gods. Father, you proclaimed unto Moses that this would be your memorial throughout all the nations, throughout all the generations. I am the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob, and the people of Israel. Father, we declare that you are the one, Jesus, Yeshua. You are he who proclaimed in the burning bush before your prophet that you are, I am. Blessed be your name forever and ever. Amen.